Checking in now with Quincy College President, Dr. Richard DeCristofaro, for a little update on how the college is coping during the pandemic and also how he's coping during his new role. Hey, Rick, nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Joe. I hope all is well with you.
Thank you. All is well here. Appreciate that. Appreciate the time to talk to you. First time publicly, at least since you've been appointed college president.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad to be there. QATV is tremendous and what you offer, the services. And I hope the college becomes more part of QATV going on. So we can talk about that at some time. But, you know, the transition, you figure I made the transition from Friday, June 13th, and I started here on Monday, June 16th. So I had that weekend to do something. I think it was probably moving in, but very, very exciting, very exciting. I'm so appreciative of the opportunity. And, you know, I want to make sure, though, I congratulate Kevin Mulvey, Superintendent Kevin Mulvey. You know, I once introduced him as a gentleman with a very quiet strength. And that's what he is. And I think over there, he's made a lot of really great decisions, along with the Quincy School Committee, of course, and his team. But he's going to be a wonderful, wonderful superintendent. He gets it. He loves kids, loves families, respects education tremendously. So I just want to make sure I wish him the very, very, very best, and the Quincy School Committee as well. And Mayor Koch, you know, I do have the honor of continuing my very supportive relationship with the mayor. He's been unbelievable there in QPS, and he really loves this college as well. As you know, he loves Quincy. So, you know, doing that, working there and then transitioning, and also the Quincy City Council, I wanted to make sure that they, because we are a municipal college, and they do play a role, and I'm very appreciative of their support as well. And then coming into transition with the Board of Governors, Paul Barbadaro is the chairperson there, and he's very, very capable. The Board of Governors has played, I think, a critical role into where we are today in the college. You know, after, you know, a lot of reorganization, looking at the budget, looking at staffing, they made, with the president, you know, made a lot of really key decisions. One in particular was a balanced budget. So they required a balanced budget, which required extensive reorganization. So we're there. We're, you know, our budget is balanced. We have increasing our reserves. So we're doing all those things that get us on our way and move forward. So,
yeah, as you well know, of course, the city had to pick up the health insurance costs for the college this year due to the pandemic, really, more than anything else. Is that, you know, something that you hope will resolve itself in the future?
Yes, I do. And that's why, you know, I wanted to mention the city council, because the mayor, of course, you know, shares that with the city council, and the city council understands that that it was something that helped us get to where we are today. And I'm hoping that, you know, little by little in the next 3 years anyway, that we just do our own benefits and help ourselves, you know, and not look for that support. But it is a municipal college, so there may be different parts of the budget that we would require or ask, request support. But yeah, we're very appreciative of the city council for allowing that, correct? Yeah.
I'm sure you're very well aware that colleges in general are having, you know, admission and financial struggles during this pandemic. How is Quincy College faring?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. I mean, when I look at other community colleges, not that we're a community college, but when we look at other colleges, we fared very, very well. And I think, you know, a part of this transition from Quincy Public Schools, you know, K-12 to higher ed, is this constant 90% of our budget is enrollment. So it's this constant work from our enrollment team, you know, enrollment management team, our marketing team, you know, to make sure it's out there, you know, that we are certainly open. We certainly have so many great programs, you know, and I'll mention those as we go. But yeah, I think we've done very well. And again, what the board did, the College Board of Governors did, was they told the administration, you know, you can rely on a deficit, you know, of certain amount of enrollment, but not too much. You guys need to do your JOB, and certainly the college did. So we were down probably about 4 or 5%, where other colleges were 15, 20, 25% down. It just shows that we're small, but we are very, very dependent on our enrollment, very dependent. So that's what we do. And the difference in QPS and here is that we're right back in it again for spring. You know, there's no rest for the weary, you know, but that's how the college operates. And I think once we put into, a lot of teams, and one of those enrollment management teams really does an excellent job. And it's, they're teams from, they're representatives from all over the college. So everyone's in it together, rowing the boat in the same way.
What's the current status, Rick, of classes? Is it a hybrid model? Is it fully online, fully in person? What's going on?
Yeah, we're hybrid in regard to our select programs, our physical therapy program, our medical lab program, our nursing program, and I'm going to forget the surgical tech program. They're coming in because they're so dependent on lab work. All others are remote, you know, and our staff, faculty comes in one day a week to meet, to talk about, really, because going online was, I'm sure in the school system as well, is really, you got to get to a point where you're comfortable with that, you know, with not having students right in front of you, not having that kind of face-to-face reality sort of education that is so important. So faculty's done a really great job. We have what we call Quality Matters, and so our courses are Quality Matters licensed or certified, you know, so many of the courses are, and we're working towards that. But the faculty here has done a really, really great job in adapting to this. I'm not going to say new normal, because I'm hoping it goes away soon.
Was it ever fully online, maybe at the outbreak of the pandemic?
I wasn't here, Joe, but I think it was. I think in that March time, that mid to, you know, early March to late March, I think they were, until they really got going and everyone got their legs underneath them and then started that remote piece. So I'm pretty sure they were fully remote. The problem is that, again, with those select programs, you need lab time. I mean, that's required to go to the next step, to take the tests, to get the licenses.
Sure. That's what I was curious about, you know, will this model of learning impact, you know, the students' academic achievement in the future?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. No matter where you are in education, I think people, some people will think that, you know, this type of learning is fine. You know, it's never going to be the same as face-to-face ever, because of that connection that we have with each other as human beings, you know, that we can judge each other. We can talk, and you can look around the classroom and understand who really needs a bit of support, who gets it, who needs support, and then make sure they get that support. So within the select programs, you know, we have a lot of tutoring going on as well. So that's going to be fine, because that's still face-to-face. The others, we have a ton of tutorial online. It may not be as effective, but we're trying to make sure that the academic rigor, you know, and what these students need, they're getting from our faculty.
Yeah, and I'm sure you find that, you know, students help each other, too, when they're in person.
You're absolutely right. And I think that's the goodness part of it. You know, I mean, we can create teams administratively, but I think as kind of student colleagues, they get it and they need support. And these select programs, I think there are pockets that are meeting to talk about things, to reassure each other, you know, that there's light at the end of the tunnel, that they can get there. So yeah. Part of that is kind of a nice part, because you got to work in teams in order, no matter where you go, whether you work from the nursing to a hospital, you know, it's always about getting along with teams and being a team member. Yeah.
Taking college classes online is certainly nothing new. You know, it's been around for quite a while. Do you see anything continuing like this at Quincy College post-pandemic?
Absolutely, yeah. We have what's called SARA, and SARA is an acronym like so many other acronyms. I'm still learning here. You know, that gives us the ability to do online within the state. We've applied and gotten accepted by the New England College, the Higher Ed College Association, to now go the online, but we can extend it. Now we can really offer associate degrees, not only in Massachusetts with all we have, but also all over the country. So we're working at that. I mean, you need staffing to do that. You know, so we gotta build our budget. As we build our budget, we'll build that program, but we do have the ability to do that. And I think that will certainly be great for the college, you know, But also, you know, I think, you know, for us, we need to build to get there. Everything's got to be incrementally improved. So that's, we're working, but that's a great question because it's going to be ever present, certainly at Quincy College.
Yeah, and do you think it maybe in some ways it expands the reach of the college to students that might not normally be able to attend in person?
Yeah, it really does. You know, when we started talking about it, I said, how many Quincy's are there in the United States that we can find out whether they have a local college? And maybe we can kind of partner up that way, you know? So we're looking at a lot of different ways, but I think it is something that does expand, increases enrollment, increases our faculty, and increases the way that that our faculty reaches students, not only in Massachusetts, everywhere else. As we improve that, as our faculty improves that, the communication is improved, and I'm hoping to expand that program.
You know, prior to your tenure, of course, there was an ambitious goal of making Quincy College a four-year school. Has this been set back a little bit?
No, I'm not going to let that happen because you know, I think what we're working on now is what hasn't been done in the past few years, Joe, is this connection, especially to Quincy High School and North Quincy High School. So we have been working on, when I was superintendent and now here, working on what we call academic pathways. We have dual enrollment, so they can take some courses there, get college credit. When I was superintendent, it was great. When I'm here, now I'm saying, well, yeah, you're getting credit. Would you come to Quincy College, please? You know, a different side of the fence. So we've created these pathways, say, in criminal justice and early childhood education, in computer science, in our health programs. So to offer these students this pathway at decreased cost, you know, and then you take these courses and then come to Quincy College. So we have the dual enrollment, academic pathways, creating a really nice academic pathway, I think, in biotechnology with Ed Smith over at the high school and our science people, you know. So you have the dual enrollment, you have pathways, and, you know, that next thing is we're working right now and, you know, I'm hoping every single day for good news from State Street Foundation. We're looking at early college high school, which would mean that Quincy High School, North Quincy High School, grade 11, grade 12 students could be actually taking these courses towards their associate's degree while they're at Quincy and North Quincy High School.
Oh.
Now, how does that help? That helps us with enrollment, of course, selfishly, but it really helps these students, many underrepresented, whether they be students of color, whether it be economically challenged, mm-hmm. type of thing. Those students that may not even think they would go to college, be really ready, you know, to come to Quincy College to finish their associate's degree. So when you have the pathways, you have dual enrollment, you know, early college, high school, I'm hoping any day, because they were here, they interviewed Quincy Public Schools, they interviewed Quincy College people, and I think we're really, really poised to make a great difference there. So we get that, and now we move into, right now we're working with the Department of Higher Education to offer one course for a baccalaureate beginning in September. So, you know, that most likely would be in business. We've surveyed the students, we've surveyed the staff, a faculty here to say, what do you think of this step, you know? Because you're right, they did that in, I think in 2017. I don't know what happened, why it didn't come to fruition, but I wanna make sure that there's this academic rigor pathway from high school to the college and beyond. So if we can have a baccalaureate, now they can finish out. And if it's in business, fine. And then extend from there. So people here are very excited about that. But they also know we've done this before. They've been through a little bit of this before, especially with the baccalaureate. So we want to make sure that we don't disappoint and we reach out to the community and let them know that we have these pathways for students to become college students and then go beyond. And we also have articulation agreements with a bunch of colleges, but I'd like to start the baccalaureate so we do everything right here. And it's convenient, it's affordable, and I think you know this, that you know, within our nursing program, within our sciences, those life science programs, these students, you know, when they leave, they get jobs immediately.
Yep.
You know, so everything we do needs to be industry-based. You know, has to have that foundation. It can't be these other courses that we'd like to have students and then see where they go. Everything we do is industry based, and so these students get jobs when they leave.
Well, I mean, we're seeing, you know, how important the biotech industry is during this pandemic. It's the only way, really, that we're going to get back to normal is through science. These jobs, you know, maybe even more demand in the future.
Oh, I think they will be. You know, in our labs, it's very interesting. Our labs at Saville Hall, where all our sciences are, they are all state of the art. They have the National Science Foundation, and you may remember probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, that they have they have funding every year to upgrade labs. So they have their labs. I was over there the other day. The work they are doing that I don't understand, of course, with protein and all this other thing, these students are unbelievable. So that pathway for our students at Quincy and North, critical. I mean, that is immediate, it's a career. It's an immediate career builder. And you got Enzyme, you have Pfizer. A lot of these people are on our advisory board. So we need to work with the advisory board, to increase these programs, make sure the curriculum is great. So we have some symposiums ready to go in January with life science people from Cambridge coming in. The CEO, Bob Coughlin from MassBio, is coming in. He'll facilitate it. And I want the staff to really think about where we need to go in the future with biotechnology. So pretty exciting.
Yeah. And in speaking with Ron Yacobucci over at the Quincy Career Center, he's really looking forward to a partnership with Quincy College. A lot of folks who have found themselves out of work because of this pandemic are going to need new skills, new job skills, new life skills to start a new career. He sees Quincy College as a prime way to do that.
Yeah, we've met several times with Mass Hire, and Ron has been extraordinary. And so is Bob Sarasoli, who's there. He's there part-time, but they understand that, Quincy College should be and will be their real great partner. They have other people that they have to deal with, and we get that, but we want to be their primary source. So our workforce development, again, that's a source of resource revenue for us. But we have a ton of partners that we're dealing with. And I think that Kate Lopke here deals with workforce development. And we deal with Mass Hire. Mass Hire has really part of our team. Any meetings that we have in regard to workforce development, reaching out to partners, offering our service to them, Mass Hire is the first person that we talk to. They're excellent. They do a very great job.
Yeah, so many folks, especially in the hospitality industry.
Working with Dunkin' Donuts now, Chick-fil-A. So that type of company that they're hiring people that need that customer service piece, plus a lot of students that may need computer support. ELs students may need that type of support with customer service, with English language. So there's a ton of opportunity out there. That's why Mass Hire is really such a great partner.
Sure. How has the college been able to deal with the athletic programs, Rick, during time? I mean, yeah, I know a lot of it gets just pushed on the back burner.
Yeah, like the whole state, So basketball should begin. Right now we're planning it to be mid-January, basketball. Okay. Yeah, and I think Jack Raymer, who you may know, from years past, took on this job as athletic director part-time, and he's really done an excellent job. It's almost like he's in my office, hey, Jack, enough, But he wants to keep going, and he's really thinking about the budget all the time. But these students that come in are students that may not have come to Quincy College. They may have gone to another school for athletics. So he now is dealing with a baseball program, a girls basketball program, a cross country program. And it's a part of student life here that's really necessary because we're not in a campus sort of situation, So having these extensions to their student life in Quincy College benefits the students, but it also benefits the college as well. So we're very appreciative of where we're going with that. And COVID, has, like everything else, it's a significant hurdle and obstacle. But I think we're doing very well, and I think we're going to continue on that course. And again, with the city, making sure that we have fields and all that sort of stuff. And I think with basketball, with gymnasiums, the school system has been very, very good. The mayor has been very, very supportive in a lot of ways. So we're lucky to have this college live in Quincy. It's just been such a viable part since, 58, 59. You weren't born then, Joe, I know, but so it really is a part. It's a municipal college. It's the only one in the country, and I think this partnership is extraordinary. We just have to keep it going.
Yeah, well, as you're well aware, the mayor has suggested a brand new home for you across the street.
Yes.
The Monroe Building. Yeah. Any update on that?
No, I've talked to the mayor about that. No, let me rephrase that. The mayor has chatted with me about that, and he's very, very excited about it. And I don't know what the timeline would be, especially with COVID, with everything going on, but he is very, very anxious to get things going, as he is anxious with every project that he has on his plate.
Yeah, just a bit going on, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the situation at the Plymouth campus, Rick? Is the status quo there as well?
Yeah, it is. A nursing program is alive and well at Plymouth. The PTA, the physical therapy assistant program, is down there. That's really it for now, because everyone else would be online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a quiet place right now, but when we talk about some of the things we talked about, I met with the Plymouth superintendent, assistant superintendent, a couple of weeks ago, was to get them going on a dual enrollment, and then to do the same things, dual enrollment, pathways, early college, high school, and then to have a baccalaureate program there as well. So we're working with the town. They have a tremendous need for physical therapy assistance. They have even aquaculture, looking at clam beds, oyster beds, all that sort of stuff, where they have the bogs down there with cranberry. So there's a lot of aquaculture going on. So we're looking to see, is there an interest for a student body to begin that? It's a certificate program, but again, immediate employment right after that. So that's the kind of uniqueness Plymouth offers, but it's a beautiful campus. It really is. And our enrollment there, we're going from maybe about 360 down to about 330. So it hasn't taken a significant hit. But the enrollment in Plymouth, the student enrollment in Plymouth, has gone down a bit. So it's maybe somewhat reflective of that. But Plymouth has I think it's got tremendous merit. And we need to keep that enrollment where it is, and then to begin to offer some unique programs.
I know over the summertime you offered, I think it was a $300 credit for Quincy residents to take.
Yes.
Did that help?
Yeah, it helped greatly. It's funny, because we did the budget and then we say, we gave all this money. Oh my gosh, we gave all this money. Bottom line is these students take more credits. So you make it up as you go. So you have to invest in that. But that worked tremendously. I don't know if we'll do that this, working towards the spring. But the enrollment team will let me know as early as Monday what we do, what our strategy will be in regard to marketing. And then regard to the whole revenue piece and what we should do and what we should not do.
Yeah, I know you have kind of open enrollment. Is that still the case?
Yeah, open access. Yeah, which is great. But I think when you do that, you get a really broad range of students. So what we need to do is build again incrementally, so we have enough advising people, admissions people, that really get to know our students that are coming in and make sure that they understand that we're small, you're going to be valued here, whatever you do here, you'll be successful, right away. So I think that's the piece that's probably so very, very important. We can offer scholarships and do all these things. The students come in and need to understand that we work for them. That's the kind of the difference here, They need to know that, whatever we say we're going to do, and even more.
Nice. Anything else we should add right now, do you think, Rick?
No. I think, the best thing about this college is its mission, that, we're here for all students. And I think being where we are, I think we need to increase our communication outside of Quincy, but even inside of Quincy, to make sure our students understand that, yes, we're affordable. Yes, there's academic rigor. Yes, there are great programs. But you're going to be valued right here more than you will in any other school you go to. We're going to know your name, and we're going to make sure we connect with you, and we're going to make sure that we're going to be supportive of you. And you're going to graduate, and you're going to do very, very well, whether you stay, after you get an associate's degree or you go on to baccalaureate degree. We hope to take care of you here. If not, we'll make sure we have articulation agreements to take care of you, so you have a great future. And that light at the end of the tunnel is incredibly bright. So, yeah.
Good way to end it. Please let us know if you hear about that State Street grant. We'd love to let folks know.
I will let you know immediately, because you may hear me screaming.
With joy, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. I should have said that. Yes. Yeah. But I will let you know. Maybe I can come on and talk about that when we do get that. Okay.
Absolutely. I would love to continue the relationship, the good relationship we have with you with the Quincy Public Schools now in your new role for sure.
Yeah, well, thank you, Joe. All right. And stay healthy.
You too. Yes. QuincyCollege.edu, by the way, is your website. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks again, Rick. Good to see you.
All right. Always a pleasure. Thanks for everything you do.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.